Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network, where it's always sunny. That's our new theme here. Yesterday it was, we have all the answers. Or was that Monday?
That was Monday.
Okay. Today it's always sunny. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Fred is news director for American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com. OneNewsNow.com. Encourage you to check that out. Ed, a lot's happening in the world, and we're going to be discussing it today. And how can folks keep up with us on the internet?
Well, if they would like to watch us discuss this, now we've talked about the fact, you know, I don't think it's any secret that none of us are, this is not, you know, Brad Pitt times three here.
No, you'd be tuning in for the intellect first.
Yes, that's right. If you insist on watching us, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and you search for Today's Issues and you can watch online. Or, you know, you can go to our webpage, American Family Radio, and watch, listen to it streamed. And so
we post the stories that we talk about.
That's right. On Facebook, Brent Creeley, our producer, does that, posts these stories. So you hear it and you go, wow, I'd like to read that, learn a little bit more. You can go find the story. And then there are, I think, podcasts. There's all kinds of ways to stay connected. You can get the AFR app, and then you can listen anywhere, even if you're not around a terrestrial radio station.
There you go. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Fred? Lead us off.
Day two of the Senate judiciary hearings for William Barr to be the president's new attorney general. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, about the lead up to this and how the Democrats were going to behave. I was a little surprised how nice most of the Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee were to William Barr yesterday. Kamala Harris would like to be the next president of the United States, who was really tough on Brett Kavanaugh during the hearings. She was really nice. Nice questions, real soft responses. At one point, Dianne Feinstein, Democrat senator, and she's the ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, she offered some snacks to the grandson of William Barr, who was sitting there during the hearings, saying, your grandson must be kind of hungry. He's been sitting through all of this. And she presented this little bag of snacks to him. And I thought, wow, this is a change. But then we heard from another Democrat senator on the committee, Hirona Barr, Mazie Hirona, who was grilling Barr about his memo. Remember, he wrote a couple of memos with regards to the whole Mueller investigation. And in that, you know, he suggested that President Trump had the right to fire James Comey. He also expressed concerns about all the Democrat lawyers working with Mueller. And so she took issue with William Barr about that. But then he had a very forceful response. So that's cut number three.
These are not normal times. This is not 27 years ago. Today, the president is Donald Trump, who will do anything to protect himself. He wants you, who has written a manifesto about why the president shouldn't be prosecuted, at least for obstruction of justice, who has met with and consulted with the president's defense attorneys, who has written op-eds defending his firings of Sally Yates and James Comey to be his attorney general. So in this context, just asking us to trust you is not enough. Why won't you simply follow Jeff Sessions' lead and take and follow, the critical portion being follow, the advice of the department's ethics officials?
Because the regulations and the responsibilities of the Attorney General as the head of the agency vest that responsibility in the Attorney General. And I am not going to surrender the responsibilities of the Attorney General to get the title. I don't need the title.
So, yeah, she was suggesting that, like Jeff Sessions, that Barr should recuse yourself from all of this.
Yeah.
And you heard his response there. I ain't going to do it.
Well, he was saying, "Why? So you want me to recuse myself from being Attorney General?" Basically. And it was kind of silly. Who was that asking him that?
Was that Kamala Harris?
No, that's Mazie Hirono, from Hawaii.
Oh, she's the one who said we're smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
We Democrats are just too smart for everybody. They can't understand us. They don't get America. America didn't get us.
Yes. Otherwise, they'd be Democrats. Right. That's what she's saying. If they
too brainy.
Too brainy
for the average American.
Listen, the fact of the matter is the Attorney General's position is political in that the incoming president, if it's a new administration, picks his or her person to be Attorney General. So if you want to say that's political, then Eric Holder was political.
Oh, sure he was.
You trying to tell me, Senator Hirono, that Eric Holder was not loyal to Barack Obama?
Eric Holder ordered 45, I think it was reported, 45 FBI agents to Little Ferguson, Missouri.
Yeah.
To try to nail, what was the cop's name? That got into Michael Brown, Darren.
I keep wanting to say Darren McGavin. No, that was the actor.
But I'm talking about. Yes. The police officer.
Brent's looking it up.
The police officer.
It's just slipping.
You're slipping.
My mind.
Okay. Well, that's a topic for another day.
Yes.
But the officer.
Yes.
That
shot Michael
Brown. They tried to get him. The FBI. Through Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, tried to get him on civil rights violations or, I don't know, what else. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't get anything on him. And this was a local incident.
Darren Wilson.
Darren Wilson was the police officer's name. He was exonerated. Michael Brown, the young man that was shot and killed because he got into an altercation, he attacked the police officer. He attacked the police officer. We all remember that story.
Yeah.
And then they said that his partner said he was shot in the back like an animal.
So remember? Holder sent all those FBI
agents. Yeah, of course, none of that was true.
Right.
Hands up, don't shoot didn't even happen, but the whole world thought it did. Mm-hmm. And but my point is something that should have been handled by a few people locally, probably, maybe with the feds involved at a minimal level. Having to do with a police officer, and a young man who was shot and killed, became a national story. And to your point, Eric Holder was doing the bidding of Barack Obama, his boss,
right?
Rank raw politics, because they sent 40 something agents down to Ferguson, Missouri, where there's 72 people
right.
that live there.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, but it's a small town. To try to nail this guy.
Right.
And they couldn't.
Well, the option is you have an attorney general that is appointed, nominated by a president, so there's going to be political loyalties.
Yeah.
It's going to be a part of an administration, so there's always going to be the question of politics. And so what you do is you tell the American people, okay, you're going to have to be savvy enough, pay enough attention.
Right, right.
If this has become political so that it is causing a miscarriage of justice, you vote out the president. The only other option
right.
is you have a permanent office of special counsel that is not appointed by the president.
Oh my.
And then you have the opposite political dangers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you have a special prosecutor who was appointed by Barack Obama, now tasked with keeping tabs on the
right.
opposite parties. So there's no perfect system.
No.
And you can't expect the attorney general to recuse himself
of being
or
the attorney general.
Of being the attorney general just because you think there may be some political feelings here. You've got to trust the integrity of the person in the office.
A couple of things. Mazie Hirono, I don't remember her complaining.
Is she a senator, by the way?
She is a Democrat senator from Hawaii. I don't remember her complaining about Loretta Lynch not recusing herself from the Clinton email investigation after Loretta Lynch met on the tarmac with Bill Clinton.
Right.
And supposedly they had talks about grandchildren.
Yes.
And that was all. So where is that? And let us also remember this ethics committee within the Justice Department that advised Jeff Sessions to recuse himself was composed of Democrats.
Right. From the previous administration.
Yeah. So let's add some context to all of this. And William Barr was exactly right yesterday.
He'll
That's
be confirmed.
His job.
Don't you think he just needs a William Barr? We're talking about the guy who's replacing Jeff Sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Some people on the right don't trust him because he's commented favorably about Mueller.
Mm-hmm. And the friends, personal friends.
Personal friends. But, this is President Trump's choice. So, he's the one that's going to be.
He's going to be confirmed, and that's why the Democrats are playing nice, because they know he's going to be confirmed. They're going to keep their powder dry
for the
battle over the replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg if that comes before 2020.
Exactly. And the personal friendship thing between Barr and Mueller, that doesn't surprise me, doesn't bother me, really. It may bother some people. When you live in a city like Washington, D.C., or any city, you have people that are friends or associates that may not agree politically on things, and it doesn't mean that, you know what I'm saying?
When people say, well, that's just politics, well, guess what? That is, rightly or wrongly, that is a part of every governmental system. Let me tell you about it. Now, my wife and I, we've lived in a lot of different places because of the ministry, moved around. So
yeah.
I'm not
going to
tell you.
Too.
I'm not going to tell you where this took place so that none of you will know and we'll start trying to put two and two together.
Uh-huh.
But there was a judge whose wife rear-ended a friend of ours. Okay. And the police showed up and ticketed the judge's wife. Clear case of her neglect, and she caused the accident. Well, what happened was the judge or somebody got involved and the policeman changed his report.
Oh, no.
Yes. So that was in a small town. I won't tell you where. You'd never know anyway. So the thing is, you think that that kind of thing doesn't happen in small town USA, just like it happens in big city Washington D.C. Mm-hmm. That is part of human nature.
Well, that what you just described, but I'm talking more too just about personal friendships and relationships.
Right.
Barr and Mueller may be golfing buddies together.
Right.
Okay, doesn't mean that, I'm just saying that doesn't necessarily mean that. That Barr is going to not do his job as Attorney General just because his wife attends a Bible study with Robert Mueller's wife, which is what they had talked about. Anyway, next story, Fred.
Well, I guess a little bit of good news. One of the concerns.
Hold on just a second. That really happened to you?
Yes. Man. Well, not to me, to a friend.
Where you lived.
Yeah. It was in a part of our church.
Wow.
Because I asked, I said, well, what happened? What happened? The policeman changed his report. And so now it's on our insurance.
Who's got white ink on the police?
I don't know how they did it.
Or scribble through?
It sounded like something. Really, it sounded like something,
heat of the night.
That's right. One of these kind of shows where you go, are you serious? How can they get away with that?
Well, it's, the fat belly sheriff, the Hollywood thing.
That's right.
Wink, wink.
And hey, from around here, are you, boy?
What was funny is I would see the judge and his wife at a local restaurant.
Right.
Again, folks, you won't have any idea who this is because you have no idea where I've lived. And so I just told my wife, I said, well, here comes the judge and boom, boom, his wife.
Make sure you don't.
Oh, I didn't say it out loud.
Make sure if she knocks your tray over,
That's
right. You know who's going to be at fault, right, honey?
And I meant that, bang. Yeah.
Write the book, Ed. Write the book.
All right, next story, Fred.
A little bit of good news, kind of an update on the government shutdown. The IRS is recalling 46,000 workers to handle your tax returns to make sure that if you got a refund coming, that it's going to happen. Now, it's interesting, the union representing these IRS workers is trying to stop the Trump administration from doing this recall. But there are precedents to all of this, even during the Obama administration when there was a shutdown. So it's going to happen, folks, and it looks like with these
40... these IRS agents get paid?
They will get paid eventually. Like all the federal workers, when they do return to work...
I know, they get back pay.
They get the back pay.
But right. I'm saying, so the president has the authority to mm-hmm. order...
Treasury Department, through the Treasury Department.
For these people to come into work.
Yes.
Because they're still employed,
mm-hmm.
but they're just not being paid. That's interesting.
I don't know whether they're deemed essential at this right. point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they are. You got to collect the money from the, well, excuse me, I don't mean to sound like a smart aleck, Fred, but that was a dumb answer. It wasn't a dumb answer. It was that these people have to come in because otherwise the federal government doesn't get their money in, and a lot of people could
get away
with not paying their taxes. You understand what I'm saying?
So let me ask a dumb question here, because I don't know the answer to this. The people who are not being paid, are they at work or are they at home?
Some of these people are at work. We've done the story of the TSA people
yeah.
who are not getting paid, but some of them have shown up out of loyalty, some of them, but some of them have booked off sick.
So the thing is, when you have a government shutdown, mm-hmm. you don't typically you don't go into work, but you still get paid.
Yes.
So, because I'm wondering if are these people doing their job? They're not getting paid, but they'll get paid back pay. So it is, in essence, even though it's a great hardship for many of them.
Yes, it is.
It is, in essence, a paid vacation. I mean, I don't mean to say that it's a vacation. They're not working, but they'll get paid as if they had worked.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that I understand what you're saying. I hate to say it that way.
Well, I know it's a bad way of saying it
because it trivializes the hardship that a family goes through if they work for the federal government. They got to make a house payment.
You say, how are you going to pay vacation?
That. No,
I understand.
What are you?
What I'm saying
about?
Is they're still going to get paid, but they're not going into work.
That's right.
So that's what I meant that's when true. I said a paid vacation.
Yeah.
Like these IRS agents and all that, are they coming in? They're going to do their job. They're just not going to get paid. There's a lot of people who have been sent home. They aren't working. They'll get paid as if they were.
Yes.
My understanding is that the government has the right to deem some people like air traffic controllers essential.
Yes.
But everybody will get paid.
That's a better way of putting it. I didn't mean to say a paid vacation. It's just...
Yeah.
They're at home, but they'll get paid as if they had been continuing to work.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to get a paid vacation. I want it in the summer.
Yes.
Huh?
And
am
you,
I right?
Right.
Get me in January. Give me a paid vacation in
January. In
January.
Cooped
up in my house. Not getting a paycheck.
Right. Absolutely not trivializing. Right. I don't want people getting mad at me. I know this. Tremendous hardship.
Next story,
Fred. All right.
Next story. Let's move on.
Yes.
All right.
I buried myself.
A CNN legal analyst made a big mistake yesterday.
Okay.
Now, she was being interviewed by David Webb.
What's her name?
Other way around, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. She is, the CNN analyst is Areva Martin.
Okay.
All right. And she was talking to David Webb, who is, if you watch Fox, well known, and he's a talk show host.
Yeah,
I believe on Sirius,
mm-hmm.
XM, and a Fox host, David Webb. Anyway, he was talking with this CNN analyst, Areva Martin, who is African American, and so is David Webb. But apparently, Areva Martin at CNN didn't know that David Webb is also African American. So I say all of that to set up this portion of the interview where it really went bad for the CNN.
One of the greatest moments of 2019.
Yes.
Though the year is young.
So this is you're about to hear a CNN legal analyst. Her name is
Areva Martin.
And she's talking to, evidently she can't see him.
No, it's a radio interview.
All right.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Cup number four.
I never considered my color the issue. I considered my qualifications the issue.
Well, David, you know, that's a whole nother long conversation about white privilege and things that you have the privilege of doing that people of color don't have the privilege of.
How do I have the privilege of white privilege?
David, by virtue of being a white male, you have white privilege. This whole long conversation, I don't have time to get into.
Areva, I hate to break it to you, but you should have been better prepped. I'm black.
Okay, then I stand.
See, you went to white privilege. This is the falsehood in this. That's actually insulting.
I was given wrong information about you, and I apologize.
But based on my color, you were going to something that I was part of. This is part of the problem with driving a narrative around a construct like white privilege.
Because of David Webb's conservative point of view, she went to her basket of responses.
Right.
Ah, you feel that way because your skin is white. He says, wait a minute. Your researchers didn't do a very good job.
Yeah, someone got fired over
this. By the
one.
Way, I'm an
She
African.
Should have.
Well, that's
this,
true.
This she woman should have been fired for two reasons. What's her name again?
Areva Martin.
I'm not a big CNN fan, so I don't know her name. But that's classic. That is so funny. And he is so right, and he nails her on this. And don't give me I stand corrected. No. Well, what this woman was trying to do is what the left does. She was trying to white privilege shutdown.
Yeah.
In other words,
race card.
In other words, I'm having a discussion and a debate with you about a topic. But if I throw white privilege at you in the discussion, I'm black. I'm a black woman. You're a white man. So you're not worth hearing.
Your views are questionable at best.
Yes.
Illegitimate at worst.
Because you have white privilege.
Because you're white privilege.
And he goes, what do you say? I got news for you.
I have to correct
you. You haven't been prepped very well.
I'd like to hear that again.
Yeah, we got to play that again. Play that again. That was classic.
I never considered my color the issue. I considered my qualifications the issue.
Well, David, you know, that's a whole nother long conversation about white privilege and things that you have the privilege of doing that people of color don't have the privilege of.
How do I have the privilege of white privilege?
David, by virtue of being a white male, you have white privilege. This whole long conversation, I don't have time to get into.
Areva, I hate to break it to you, but you should have been better prepped. I'm black.
Okay, then.
See, you went to white privilege. This is the falsehood in this. That's actually insulting.
No, keep on playing.
Wrong information about you, and I apologize.
But based on my color,
you know what? Go ahead, stop. You know what? She said I got some wrong information about you. You know what she's saying right there is, somebody told me you were white, and I knew I was going to win the debate just because you were white. That's what she's saying.
Yes.
Right there. You know, so ridiculous. But it's
that's one of my favorite moments of the new year.
Yes.
I hope I have a dozen of them
by the end of
the year.
I'm sure Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, and all of them will use that.
They'll mock CNN.
Yeah, they'll mock CNN.
Oh yeah, yeah. They'll do that.
That's funny, right?
You know,
there.
We ought to start. We ought to. It's the year's young. We ought to keep a collection of these kinds of moments. In fact, Brent, just go ahead. I don't know how we do this.
We need to put
at the end of the year, we'll have some of the best moments of
right.
Because I'll forget all about that by the time November and December rolls around. Yeah, that was awesome.
All right, do I hear the music?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, by the way, we're going to have Steve Moore, who is a columnist for the Washington Times, and got an excellent book. Called that we looks at the red and blue states and where we're headed
right
in this country. Any chance of kumbaya any longer between conservatives and quote progressives? Abraham Hamilton III will be with us in just a few minutes here on.
And we're going to talk about his white privilege.
Yeah, that was good, Ed.
That was good.
And you
right
got
there.
Italian privilege.
I got well, yeah. Well, no, I've got Jewish privilege.
I got Canadian privilege.
Brad's got Canadian. And J.J. Jasper says he's an Appalachian American, and he wants his privilege. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll hear from Andre Dimino of the Italian-American One Voice Coalition.
You know, with other ethnicities, you'll see positive portrayals, you'll see positive things. But with Italian-Americans, it just seems that every single time, they're either mobsters or mafiosi or bimbos and buffoons, and we just think it's not fair.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Who said this? Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I was quoting none other than George Washington, our first president and father of our country, who said specifically that religion and morality are indispensable supports for our government and our culture. We're going to be going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, in June and September. If you'd like more information on this, please go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. We'll also be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. If you'd like to do both tours or one or the other, that's fine. For all the information, again, June and September, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. We'd love to have you during these 2019 tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. An Indiana law that would require abortion clinics to bury their victims is under fierce attack. The Seventh Circuit blocked the state from enforcing the law, setting up a possible showdown at the Supreme Court. The law would also prohibit abortions motivated solely by the race, sex, or disability of the unborn child. Liz Weinstein, the co-creator of The Daily Show, launched a vicious series of tweets condemning the Indiana law. She actually referred to unborn babies as, and I quote, medical waste. Teen Vogue columnist Danielle Campamore echoed that vulgar theme that an unborn child is nothing more than refuse to be discarded. Mothers who have suffered a miscarriage do not mourn the loss of medical waste. They mourn the loss of an unborn child. She went on to say that abortion is normal and natural. Killing an unborn baby is not normal or natural, you feminist monsters. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, where it's always sunny here on AFR. You listen to Sandy Rios in the morning.
It's always gloomy.
Sandy will give you your Debbie Downer moments. You know, it's what I'm teasing.
We love Sandy.
Sandy does a great job, and I tease her about that all the time, though. I'll say something positive about something going on, and she'll go, well, you don't know the other part of the story.
Yeah.
And I'm going, no, and I don't want to, Sandy. It's Friday. Huh? I want to have a good weekend. I don't want to know William Barr, you know, is a subversive.
So you're saying you want Today's Issues to be the sunny,
yes,
the sunnier,
yes,
look
part of AFR
of politics.
Exactly.
Yeah, because there's
here.
A lot of material there, buddy. Tell you what.
Oh, we're going to have a lot of moment of silence.
Oh, man.
For our sunny.
Here, now right. For the sunny take on the news.
Stock market went down again today.
But, folks, it'll be back up.
It'll be back up. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. That's what a few years ago, just a real quick story here. Rare that we rabbit trail. But a few years ago, Ed and I, we had a running joke because we had a gentleman. Good morning, Abraham Hamilton III. I didn't even said hello to you. Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Abe's our legal analyst, our public policy analyst, and he's host of the afternoon program, The Hamilton Corner, on AFR. But anyway, so just Fred, Abe, and listeners. Ed and I, remember when the stock back, this is 15, 20 years ago, and the stock market was just a roller coaster, and you and I had our 401ks invested, at least partially, in the stock market, like millions of Americans do. So we paid attention to what the stock market did. So, but one of our friends who worked with us, coworker, was a stock market, formerly a stock market analyst.
Yeah.
And so every time the stock market would take a deep dive, you know, Ed and I would get, it wasn't sunny with Ed and I. We were down and out because going, man, look at this thing. And we'd go into our friend who's a stock market guy and we'd go, hey, what do you say about this? What can we do? And he would always say, well, it may be down now, but look at the bright side. You're buying in low.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's right.
And I was going, huh. So I'm supposed to be happy about this. Stock market got cut in half today, but I'm supposed to feel good about
my
it.
My 401k is now a 201k.
Okay. But I'm supposed to feel good because why, Ed?
Because one day it'll be a 601k.
Right, because you bought in.
Bought in low,
Ed, Fred.
That's right.
So Ed and I would go into his office and we'd come out looking at each other going, yeah, I guess we're depressed for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, stock market tanked again today, but
take
we bought in low.
The sunny side of the street.
We don't know what we bought in low to, but he told us we bought in low, so we should be happy about that. All right. Abe, question for you. You're you went to law school. I'm setting you up here, Abe. You know that you're a constitutional attorney, and I mean that truly, because that's what you studied. Question. We have a federal judge now. This isn't the first time this has happened. This has happened repeatedly since President Trump has come into office. And it may have happened beforehand. That's why I want to ask you. I don't know. But we have this case it's on onenewsnow.com. Mm-hmm. It's one of the lead stories on our website, on our news site. And it's talking about this one judge, U.S. District Judge Jesse Furman.
An appointee of Barack Obama.
Okay, an appointee of Barack Obama. And what did he rule, Fred?
They ruled that...
No, it's he.
It's a he, yes.
Yeah, he ruled.
He ruled
uh-huh.
that with regards to the census coming in 2020, that the requirement that the Trump administration had advocated for, that you have to prove citizenship. You have to declare...
Well, just asking the question.
Your citizenship.
Right.
This judge said, you're not allowed to put that on the census.
Right. Right. Okay. So you don't necessarily prove, I think you used that word, but you meant to say you have to answer the question on the census form, are you a citizen or not?
Mm-hmm.
This federal judge, one federal judge says, no, I am blocking that question. And this is a U.S. district judge, and he's this edict, is that what you call this? Ruling?
You should call it. But...
Ruling? He said to take this nationwide. I mean, this is a nationwide ruling.
Well, he's saying it has to be, it cannot be put on the form.
Yeah. Okay. So my question to you, Abe, is how is it one federal judge can make a ruling that is, and he announces this is supposed to go into effect all across America?
Yeah.
Why do we even have districts if a federal judge can, is this new and what can be done about it? The only thing, anyway, go ahead and answer the question.
Well, great question. One question I have a response. Did this district court judge issue an injunction on the questionnaire on the question being added to the census, or did he just issue his ruling and leave it up for appellate courts to deal with secondarily? Because recently we all have heard about the district court judge in Texas who ruled that Obamacare is unconstitutional. And the question came up, well, has that now stopped Obamacare nationwide? And the answer was no, because the Texas judge didn't issue an injunction, a nationwide injunction. He just made a legal ruling, and now the issue has to be considered by the appellate court. So in this particular instance, I would be interested to know.
Explain what an injunction
is. Yeah, an injunction would basically be an order by the court saying this person is enjoined from or this entity is enjoined from continuing whatever conduct the court deemed to be illegal. So it would be a statement made by the court or an order issued by the court saying to the Trump administration that you cannot print the census forms with that question on it.
Yeah, but there was another ruling the other day during the weekend. This had to do with the provisions of Obamacare, which forced employers to provide contraceptive coverage free of charge. And then the Trump administration came along and said they're going to modify that in the cases of companies that have, for example, Christian leaders, and they say, we just can't do that. We can't provide RU 486 or whatever the case may be. There was a judge in California, I think, made the initial ruling for 13 states plus the D.C., District of Columbia. Then within 24 hours, I think it was, another judge, U.S. District Judge in Philadelphia said, no, I'm making it for the whole nation. So I guess, Tim, you're asking this question because it seems to be happening over and over and over again where one judge says, I'm doing it for the whole nation.
What is the purpose of a federal district judge in terms of where the ruling is supposed to and then you have a federal appellate court system. Mm-hmm. We've all heard of that, first, second, third, fourth, ninth circuit, so which is supposed to be over various states, true?
Yes. The purpose of having districts is just that, to have a district that has jurisdiction over a particular issue that could be litigated in a court. So this process, and it has happened in the past, but it is being abused at ever-increasing rates here under the Trump administration in terms of nationwide injunctions being issued. Well, we hadn't seen that happen, especially in issues that formerly were clearly understood to be within the context of the executive authority. Questions on citizenship in a census that happens every 10 years is clearly germane to the purpose of the census, because the census is one of the primary things that is used to determine whether or not states have an increase or a reduction in the number of Congress members. Mm-hmm. It relates to the number of electoral votes.
Why would you be opposed? Let me ask you this. Why would anyone, I guess I'm asking the obvious here, but this was the group that brought this case to stop President Trump, I guess you could say it was President Trump, wanting or the Trump administration wanting this question added to the census about citizenship. Again, it's just a question. Are you a citizen or not? Yes or no? That's basically.
That's it.
Okay. So the group that brought this, though, was the Federation. No, excuse me. Pardon me. I was going to name the wrong group. It's a group that, groups, I should say, that advocate on behalf of illegal immigrants argued that adding the question might frighten those.
You don't say.
Households away from participating in the census.
You don't say.
Yeah. No. So why would anyone be opposed to that question being asked on a census?
Well, the immediate answer would be because they don't want the government to know that populations of some states are filled with those who are not citizens of the United States of America.
Because those people should not count towards the total number of citizens in their state from which they get electoral college votes and representation
and representatives
in the House.
I mean, for example, if it turns out that California happens to have in the past included numbers of illegal aliens among the ranks of those that allow them to have this continually increasing number of Congress people, then it would turn out, oh, they don't have citizens in the state, so there could be a reduction in the number of Congress people from California and electoral votes in the state, as well as all sorts of other assistance and other things according to the census. And so if the question is asked, well, why hasn't this always appeared on the census? Because the phenomenon of illegal immigration has increased in recent years as opposed to past years.
And frankly, all the other stuff that they have that they ask on the census, most of that should be stricken. I mean, you know, what your income level is, your gender, all those kind of things. People have wanted to include sexual orientation on the census. That's not the purpose of the census.
Those are things that are not germane to the census process at all.
The census is supposed to determine how many representatives you have in Congress and how many electoral votes you get. So
that's right.
Questions like this are actually the kind that should be on where all this other stuff that they're wanting to use for their social engineering, all that stuff should probably be.
Now you could lie about that, right?
And that's another thing, that putting the question on there doesn't guarantee it will be answered honestly.
Mm-hmm. Why would it? If somebody's here illegally and they got a knock at the door, and it's a census worker, and they want to know how many people live in this home, and they say, "Well, five," are you a citizen, are they all citizens, or I don't know how this exactly is done, but
most of the time it goes out by mail, and okay. And what I think the groups who are suing to get the question off of the census forms, they're doing it because they know less. People who are illegal aliens are not going to participate, more than likely.
Right.
If they have to answer and say, hey, I'm not a citizen, that it could result in some of those people not answering at all. And so it'll say, man, we thought California had all of these people, but it seems like they've had a reduction in their population.
Right.
You know, the overarching problem we have in this country with folks who don't care about this issue at all, that is illegal immigration, just is amazing to me. I mean, what I'm saying is we have these caravans again now coming. Yep, we have all these problems with people on the border that we don't have room to house. Just people have been pouring into our country for a couple of decades now, illegally here, and the Democratic Party and many on the left, maybe some on the right, too. I don't know, for other reasons. Cheap labor, maybe.
Yeah.
But just don't have a problem with, they don't, everything that you want to do to prevent illegal immigration from continuing to be a problem in our country, the left wants to prevent you from using these tools, such as a wall or a fence. In this case, don't even want the question asked on a census form, are you a citizen or not? It's as if they want people to pour into our country illegally, and that's not doing anything to stop them.
Yeah, I mean, how else would you explain people who have said not too long ago that there's a crisis on our southern border, we need to build a barrier, build a wall, and now say, no, we don't need to.
Right,
we don't
need that's to, immoral.
Now it's immoral, and I find it hilariously ironic that, you have many of the people on the left politically, they want us to defer to experts. But you never see CNN, MSNBC, any of these networks putting on any experts from the Border Patrol on their networks. You don't see them. Normally, they want to talk to as many experts as they can find in the field. But on this issue, you can't find any experts on these networks.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they won't carry their narrative.
I know people are going to say, well, duh, Tim. I may deserve the duh. But on one level, it's still kind of stunning to me that a major political party in this country would advocate for something that in the end could be the demise of our demise of our country as we know it. We may turn into more of a socialistic state.
But they want that, too.
I'm about to say twofold. One, the short-sightedness is directly connected to what they believe is politically expedient for them as a party. And secondarily, remember, these are the people who voted for a president who said he wanted to fundamentally transform America. These are people who have been told year in, year out that America is inherently wicked, it's evil, that it needs to be made into something else.
Yes.
Let me ask you one other question about this.
Well, I was just going to add quickly, there's a story on Fox about Beto O'Rourke, who had an interview in which he several times stated that the founders and the Constitution, the document we have, probably is inadequate for what we're doing now.
He literally said it's 230 years old. We need to rethink whether or not it's still relevant.
Right. Yeah. So this is a rising star in the Democratic Party.
Yes.
Now, he has been chastised by some in the Democratic Party, I think only because, my opinion is, this is too quick.
Yeah.
To do kind of like Ocasio-Cortez. We want to go there, but just you're jumping the gun. You're doing this too quickly.
Yeah. Well, Abe, what are you going to be discussing this afternoon?
I'm going to talk a little bit, and this is something I have been weighing into a couple times now. But weighing into Beto O'Rourke's reference to the Constitution being potentially no longer relevant. Now, these are people who say they do take oaths to protect and defend the Constitution, but he's openly surmising as to whether or not the Constitution is irrelevant. And another thing, I'll say this, that for a lot of us like you, Tim, I'm shocked that this is happening, but we have to get beyond the shock and really start engaging into communicating the realities. Why the and we shouldn't have to do this, but we have generations of miseducation, but reorienting our people into the understanding of why the Constitution has resulted in the longest lasting republic in the history of the world, why America became such a superpower in such a short amount of time. What is unique about America that has allowed our nation to become what she's become? Because there are a lot of people, especially younger people in our country, they have no clue.
Right.
But, you know, it's just this. Yesteryear, Fred, the old expression, "This ain't your daddy's Chevrolet or your granddaddy's Chevrolet or whatever." this ain't your daddy's Democrat Party.
Oh no!
No!
Oh no!
Okay, the Democrat Party of John F. Kennedy would not be acceptable.
Right.
Oh no!
To the modern Democrat Party,
the past tax cuts under JFK.
Yeah.
Right. Jimmy Carter would not be
right
acceptable to today's Democratic Party.
No.
Hubert Humphrey, all those old guard Democrats would not.
Tip O'Neill. So my question to you, Fred, is what has happened to the Democrat Party where they used to have disagreements, honest disagreements with Republicans over a lot of things? A lot of our listeners, maybe if they're in their 70s or 80s, they may have grown up voting Democrat.
Right.
Yeah.
I honestly think
it goes back to the Vietnam War.
And that far back?
And the protests that began there that painted America as being evil. And so the seeds were sown that Europe and Europe's political ideology is right, and we have to find some way of exporting that to this country. And so that was all birthed, that our professors and our universities began to teach that to people. And so those people who were taught that socialism is far better than capitalism, they are now in our media. They run the media outlets. They are now, for the most part, our lawyers, our lawmakers. So you've got a whole socialist ideology that has now risen to positions of power in this country, which is why our universities are incubators for socialism.
Yeah.
That's what they are. And I've said to people, I've been hosting programs, mom and dad, and we're talking to Christian mom and dad, you better be thinking about how you're spending God's money that he's given you. Because you're sending your kids off to environments that are hostile to Christianity, that are hostile to what America has made America great.
That's another point that needs to be made here. You need to, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, you got grandchildren or your kids getting ready to go off to college, it's time for that part time in their life. You do need to do your homework and research on where you're sending them. And because, as I said, this ain't your granddaddy's Chevrolet.
That's right.
This ain't your granddaddy's college either.
No.
Yeah.
The college and universities have always been a place where, been more, where ideas are more openly expressed. That's generally fine, but you do need to be able to defend your worldview because it will be challenged. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with having your worldview challenged, okay, necessarily. But it's gone beyond that into most colleges and universities today are places that are pushing this secular progressivism dogma, and they're not live and let live. They're not open to all ideas. Ann Coulter wrote a column about this yesterday. She was talking about, the universities used to champion them, love the fact that they were known as liberal places because all ideas could be expressed, and they welcomed all ideas to be expressed. It's not that way anymore, Abe.
No.
Many of these colleges and universities don't want all ideas expressed. They want the secular progressive worldview expressed and promoted to the exclusion of everything else, and everything else must be suppressed.
Yeah.
So,
and I would extend the warning beyond colleges and universities. We're doing so many stories these days about what's going on in our public school system, because that's where the indoctrination starts.
Yes.
And the hatred for Christianity. And I know there are great Christian public school teachers and good schools out there. So I'm not painting everybody.
It's not everybody. It's
a broad brush.
However, right. we're doing stories constantly, for instance, right. about what's going on with sex education.
Yep.
California, right. it's scary, folks. No mention of Christianity is allowed when it comes to sex education. Their liberal Planned Parenthood views of sex education. And if you try to enter, and there's a new law, Brad Dacus, Pacific Justice Institute, wrote about this the other day, that basically anything that alludes to biblical principles is going to be outlawed. A teacher cannot talk about biblical norms in sexuality at all. And Colorado, the same thing. Colorado is considering a similar bill at this time. So when you talk about the idea of college and universities, yes, but also it's right down to elementary school, folks.
Right.
You got to be aware of this.
Hey, if you want information about the historical roots of the progressive movement, I'm just going to send folks to afastore.net.
Yes.
And you just type in progressive threat, and what will come up are two products that AFA has. One is a pamphlet. It's not real long, but it gives you the biblical ideas behind our government and the progressive coup that has gone on for over 100 years to change.
100 years?
Over 100 years.
In the making?
To change the foundational documents of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, as we just talked about with Beto O'Rourke in Texas. So that pamphlet and a DVD are available. Just go to afastore.net, type in progressive threat, and it'll come up. The little pamphlet, I think, is $7.50. The DVD is only $5. You can get both of those for $11. And it is a primer on how we got to where we are. Mm-hmm. And you will recognize where we are, and you will see the roots for how we got here.
How do you
here.
Get those two products?
You just go to AFA
Store. That's your book,
net.
Right? That you
I wrote it,
us.
So I don't get anything out of this. This is not a personal plug. I wrote this from a series of AFA Journal articles. We put it together. I added an additional chapter on fascism and what fascism really is. And then the DVD is me delivering that as okay.
How do you lecture. Get these? How do you get these?
Go to afastore.net. You type in progressive threat. And if you want to see the ideas, so we're talking about ideas from the late 1800s, yes. 1903, where people were talking about one world government back then. You will see that. I'm talking about heavy hitters, people who were consultants for presidents in the early part of the 1900s.
This Beto O'Rourke, is that his real name?
No, Robert Francis.
Okay. He's Scottish or something.
Yes.
But Beto sounds Hispanic.
Okay, Beto O'Rourke. Anyway, he was the fellow who challenged Ted Cruz.
Yes. Yes.
And lost, but didn't lose by a wide margin.
Right. 2.5 percentage points.
Yeah, he could have.
In Texas.
But he's the one. He's been named and is being championed by some on the left as the next presidential candidate for the Democrats.
He's expected.
He's met with Joe Biden. How they could team up
to run.
Anyway, my point is, here this guy is. He's a House member now, right?
Yes.
Okay, and he said what?
He said. He wonders whether or not the Constitution, that it's over 230 years old, is still relevant today.
Think about that.
Yes.
Think about a major party's, one of the top names mentioned as a presidential candidate.
That's why you have people on the left saying we got to get rid of the Electoral College.
Yes.
I'm telling you, these people, the new Democratic Party, they hate the Constitution because it restricts government. They want expanded government.
That's why they savaged Brett Kavanaugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why they were willing to do anything they could to try to keep him from being on the court, because they realize he may be a vote against their agenda, right?
Yeah.
On the, I mean, that's wanting to allow for all this stuff.
That's why they don't want strict constructionists.
Because what Beto O'Rourke is saying is what liberal activist
right.
judges have been doing.
Right.
Yes.
For the living, breathing document.
Literally.
Right.
And so he's just a legislative
outgrowth
of that idea.
An idea that Woodrow Wilson was talking about over 100 years ago.
That's right.
Thank you, Abe.
My
Appreciate
pleasure,
it.
Fellas.
Join Abe this afternoon at 5 o'clock Central Time. We'll be back momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.